peaceful sound, right? The waves hitting the beach. Somewhere in the world right now, the tide is coming in. Somewhere, it's going out. Estimates of the storm surge, not so peaceful, from Typhoon Haiyan in the Philippines, reached as high as 23 feet. And in some places, seawater churned up by the storm far exceeded that. The typhoon's eerie fingerprint of a waterline left everywhere the storm wreaked its havoc will tell the tale eventually. Right now, the official estimates of this storm's actual surge are closer to 13 feet. So a question, can we visualize a 13 or 23-foot or even the not-so-outlandish 50-foot storm surge map of the world? Forget the high ground. Can we head for the low ground and see how much of the world's population, indeed how much of civilization, is below this imaginary now, but eventually all too real, waterline from the anticipated severe storms of this young century? James K. Mitchell is professor of geography at Rutgers University. Professor Mitchell, welcome to the program.
Hi, John.
Can we envision a map of the world that really just basically takes the population in the low-lying areas? What are the numbers? And, I mean, the places are obvious, but it's the numbers that I think bear repeating.
It's about 40% of the world's population is within about 60 miles of a coastline. That's true also in the United States. About 40% of our coastline is in coastal counties. So that population is growing. The estimates for the United States are that by 2020, there should be another 10 million people living in those coastal counties.
And geographers such as yourself and emergency preparedness officials are increasingly making maps like this, that we really need to know who's going to be below water in the kinds of storms that we anticipate over the next several decades.
Yes, there's a wide variety of activities going on to map the flood risks, the storm surge flood risks. What there probably is a deficiency in are the maps that show what the vulnerabilities of those areas are, not only the places, but the people. Those sorts of maps are kind of lagging behind the maps of the physical flood risk.
And when you say the physical flood risk, you know, you're talking about the climate change idea, the idea that the sea level will rise. It's this unpredictability of storm surges that really underscores a completely different kind of vulnerability, right?
Yeah, the unpredictability is one part of the question, but there are many other factors that enter into deciding whether or not a given storm will become a disaster. It has a lot to do with the numbers of people and investments that are exposed in those places that are at risk, a lot to do with how well protected they are and what capacity they have for bouncing back after they experience the event. So all of those things have to be taken into account in order for humans to make a judgment about how severe these problems will be.
We're talking with Professor James K. Mitchell, who's professor of geography at Rutgers University. Do you mind if I quiz you a little bit on some of the physics and just pure geography of some of this?
You can try.
All right. Is there a way of saying what continent is more vulnerable here in terms of just, access to the ocean, the fact that it has the longest coastline, that sort of thing?
In general, Asia, particularly East Asia and South Asia, would be areas where not only you have a lot of low-lying coastline, particularly on large river deltas, and that's mostly agricultural populations, but you also have many large cities like Mumbai in India or Manila in the Philippines. And you have a wide range of fairly affluent cities like Tokyo on Tokyo Bay. So Asia in general, but particularly East and South Asia, would be areas that would be very vulnerable. But that's not to say that both the eastern and western coasts of the North Atlantic Ocean aren't vulnerable too. It's a different kind of vulnerability there.
Well, let's talk about that. I mean, we get a sense that an island nation like or an archipelago like the Philippines would obviously be vulnerable to storms. But there are a certain category of physics that can churn up water and amplify a storm in coves and closed systems like the Mediterranean or the Caribbean. Yes.
Yes, indeed. And if you look at where Tacloban on Leyte in the Philippines is located, there's an eerie similarity in its general sort of topographic layout and its relationship to the ocean to the lower New York Bay area on the east coast of the United States. And the storm appears to have approached from a very similar direction that Hurricane Sandy approached the eastern coast of the United States. And the waters got bottled up in a rather similar kind of bay, the same sort of effect that took place in New York Harbor in Raritan Bay in New Jersey.
That's chilling. Are places like the Mediterranean and the Indian Ocean protected because they're relatively close? Or maybe the Arabian Sea is probably a better example than the Indian Ocean.
Yeah, what really the issue is in places like the Arabian Sea is there aren't the large tropical cyclones that produce the winds that push those storm surges ahead of them. They don't affect that area of the Middle East. So you have to have a major storm system, and you're only going to get those where hurricanes travel, or typhoons as they would be in the Pacific, or some equivalent extra-tropical storm, like the very deep depression that swept across the North Atlantic in 1953 into the North Sea.
Well, when you want to see who is most vulnerable in the low-lying areas, what is your source? What map do you look at? And encourage our listeners to maybe take a look.
I would go immediately to a map of population, a global population map of the world. It's the best shortcut to determining at least who's exposed to the problem. It won't necessarily tell you how well protected those people are, but it'll tell you at least the population numbers that are exposed. So I'd combine a storm surge map with a population map of the world as a first cut.
All right. James K. Mitchell is a professor of geography at Rutgers University. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.